Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Numbers, the sixth chapter. And we'll begin reading in verse 22, Numbers 6, verses 22 through 27. And we want to talk today a little bit about the blessings of God. And this particular passage of Scripture states the way that God blesses His people. It implies that there's only one God-ordained formula for His blessings. Basically, it shows that all other forms of methods of blessing are unacceptable to God. And God expects, whether you believe this or not, but God expects His church to maintain purity and devotion to Him and His Word. He expects that of us. We're in a day and age where people don't, or should say, are not as devoted as they probably should be. And they like to pick and choose what portions of Scripture they're going to obey. They like to pick out the good stuff, and there's a lot of good stuff in there about the blessings of the Lord and things, but God expects us to maintain purity and devotion to His Word. To bless here conveys the idea that God's presence, God's activity, and God's love are brought into a person's life and environment. I don't know about you, but I need God's presence in my life, in my environment, every day. Every moment of every day, and there's times that, well, even when He's there, things aren't going quite the way I expect. Sometimes not quite the way I want them to. There's always compromise. Not by God, but by us. We have to compromise, oftentimes, our ideas, our thoughts, our wants, and our needs. Understanding that God ultimately is in charge, and whatever God wants for us will always be the best. God doesn't ask you to do anything that's going to be harmful, or it might hurt sometimes, because it won't hurt you spiritually, but sometimes it hurts our flesh. Flesh, the Bible says the spirit is willing indeed, but the flesh, the flesh is not. The spirit willing, but the flesh, it kind of rears up and gets ugly, acts ugly, disappoints. Sometimes it even confuses us, the flesh, because it will want to do what it wants to do when it's totally contrary to God. So God set some blessings before His people in His faithful servants under the conditions He established. Let's read Numbers 6, verses 22 through 27. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Father, today we bless You. We thank You, Lord, for Your gracious response to us. We thank You, Lord, that You love us so much that You gave us Your Son, Jesus, who willingly took our sins upon Himself and died on our behalf. We thank You, Lord, that we now can come before the throne of grace boldly to receive all our help in every time of need. Bless now, Lord, our time together. Anoint, Lord, these lips of clay and our ears to hear. In Christ's name, amen. I didn't mark this scripture, and I should have, but let me turn over to Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, for just a moment. And I wanted to read what it said, and forgive me. I have to find it just like you do, and it's over past where I'm at. Duh. I was backing up. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 and 28. Here we go. It says this, behold, now this is God speaking again, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and curse. a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. Now, we said here about a blessing and a curse. God gave his people a choice. We still have a choice. We can decide to follow Jesus Christ, or we can decide to follow the ways of the world. That's our choice. You say, well, I want the blessings of God, but I want to do this. Well, go ahead and do that and see what God says. If God's word says you can't do that, then you might not ought to do that, because you will be saying, Lord, I really don't want the blessing. I want a curse. I don't want God's curse on my life, do you? He says, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. In other words, I give you the choice. I'm a gracious God, I'm a loving God, I'm a caring God, and I'm going to give you a choice, because I don't want anybody serving me because they feel like they have to. God wants you to come to him because you want to, because you recognize your need for a Savior. You recognize your need for a God. You recognize your need for someone greater than you to guide your life and show you how to live in a way that would please God. And so you can't please God on your own. You can try. You can set out and try it. You can do everything in your part to please God. But ultimately, it's difficult to please God if you don't do what God asks you to do. You just can't do it. God wants you to do what he asks you to do. But he wants you to do it willingly. He's not going to force feed anybody. I've got a group of calves. I've got four calves. Four little heifers I'm saving back to build my big herd. I'm going to have 10 one of these days. I'm a rancher. Big rancher. And I'm saving these little heifers back. You know what? I can walk out the door, and if they see me, they willingly come to the fence, and I understand them. I understand what they're saying. They are saying, there he is. He's going to feed me. I walk out the door. They see me. She walks out the door. They'll look up, go back to grazing. But I walk out the door. They look up. They start bawling. They come to the fence. And if I walk towards the corral, they head off to the feed, out to the feed trough. What does that say, tell you? They come willingly. I'm their God. I feed them. I take care of them. I doctor them. I look after them. I give them shelter. I want them to do well. Same thing, God towards you. You're his children, the sheep of his pasture. He wants you to choose to come to his house, to dwell in his house, to feed at his house, to be built up at his house, to be sheltered by him, to be taken care of by him. But the choice is yours. He won't force you. Here's the deal. If those calves are off down the corner, they don't see me go out there, and I've just fed them the day before, and they really don't need to be fed right now, if they don't see me and come up, I don't feed them. Now, when it gets a little colder and they really need to be fed, I'll call them up. I got my little special call. I'll call them up, and they'll come up. But you understand, if they're off down the corner and I don't want to feed them that day, I'm going to save that little bit of bucks. I'm going to save $3, but not feed them that day. A sack of feed, $7 and something. I feed them a third of a bag. So I'm going to save a little money. I ain't going to feed them today. If they don't come up, they don't get fed. You know? Come on now. What happens with us? We don't come to the house of God. Oftentimes, we don't get fed. But yet, we're trying to make it. We come spiritually anemic. So, preacher, where are you going with this? I don't know. This isn't what I planned on saying, but I'm just telling you. God wants you to want what he has. And he has it there available for you. And he wants you to choose a blessing, not a curse. He wants you to prosper and do well. I don't just mean monetarily. I mean in your spirit, in your spiritual man. He wants you to be built up. Where you can sing that song that we say, in the good I'll praise him, in the bad I'll praise him, on the mountain I'll praise him, in the valley I'll praise him, when I'm sick I'll praise him, but when I'm well I'm praising him. I just praise him because, and serve him because he's God. Amen. Amen. So God set before his people a blessing and a curse. If they remain faithful to him and obey his word and continue to be separate from sin and the evil ways of the world, then his blessing would come upon them and overtake them. Church, I don't know about you. I say that word, I use that phrase a lot because sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. I know you wonder about me sometimes too. I understand that. But there's time, I have understood, I have learned about these things over 40-something years of serving God, and actually over 63 years, a little over 63 years of just being on this earth and watching my parents live for God and my grandparents live for God and other people live for God, that God's blessings always overtake you and always overcome you, and God will always bless you if you will serve him. Do you get rich on it? No, not necessarily. But spiritually, you are rich if you will serve God and his blessings come upon you. Does that make you immune to problems? No. Does it make you immune to temptation and trials? Absolutely not. But you understand and you recognize that God's blessing has overcame you. They're all around you. And you can't outdo God. You just can't do it. He's just such a wonderful, loving, caring God. I want you to be blessed today. But you see, on the one hand, if you serve God, if you separate from sin, his blessing comes upon you. But on the other hand, if you conform, and he told his children, the children of Israel, and if you'll read this story, you go back to Exodus and begin to read about the children of Israel and how he brought them out. And I mean, you know, the first week out in the wilderness, they built a golden calf. I don't know if it's the first week, but you know, real quick in the story, they built a golden calf. And then they blamed Aaron for it. Well, Aaron blamed the people. Well, they asked me to do it. What else was I to do? Well, they held a knife to my throat. No, they didn't do that. They just began to grumble and complain. Moses was on the mountain too long. Here's Moses up there in the presence of the Lord, getting instructions from God about blessing and cursing, how God's going to meet their need and how he's going to lead them into this land of promise. And they're down there saying, hey, we're free. Let's party. Let's party. So God's given them more instruction here in the book of Deuteronomy about the blessing and the cursing. And then he told Aaron over here in Numbers, this is how you bless the people. This is why we bless the people. But he says, if they conform to the ways of the ungodly, a curse would overtake them. Why do you think it is that some people, even in the church, can't seem to get their head above the water? Never seem to have anything go their way, always in a problem, always dissatisfied, always disgruntled. Why do you think that is? I think it's this, and I could be totally wrong about this, by the way, because as Barney Shire used to say, I'm not the prophet nor son of a prophet, so I don't know everything. But maybe it could be because they have chosen, instead of the ways of God, they have chosen to dabble into the ways of this evil world, and they've got some things going on in their lives that is preventing the blessings of God to come upon them and overtake them, but instead they have opened a way of a curse to come upon their finance and upon their family and upon their health, but yet they come to church every Sunday and they lift up their voices, but in their hearts they are walking away from God instead of running towards him. That's just what I suspect sometimes when people just, now you're going to sit there and say, well, I know this guy, they're having a lot of problems, and maybe that's what's wrong with them. I'm not saying that's the problem with everybody. We have problems in life. If that was the case, my wife is the worst of sinners. She's going to quit the church because I said that. Some people do. When I say things like that, they say, well, I ain't going back to that church. He called me a sinner. No, I didn't call you a sinner. Your conscience must have got a hold of you, but I didn't do it. My wife's going through a difficult time right now. Some of you have been going through some difficult times. And if what I just said was totally true that on everybody's lives, it would mean that she must be doing something that you don't know about. That's not the case. The case is this, that God, the Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust alike. We all have problems in this world. We all have the difficulties in this world. We all face struggles in this world. We all face difficulties with our families in this world. That doesn't make us a sinner or mean that we're running from God. But I do believe there are some people that because they have this constant, there's never, ever anything goes right for them. There must be something somewhere that's stopping the blessing of God from overtaking them. Because, you see, I can praise God in a storm. I can praise God when I'm sick. Now, I understand when you're really, really sick, it's a little bit more difficult. When you're broke and you can't pay a bill, it's a little bit harder. But you got to praise him anyway. You got to serve him anyway. And I'm not moving very fast today. I haven't got to my main 3 points yet. Oh, I can save it for this afternoon. I'll quit right there, and then I got something for tonight. So we have to be careful that we don't adopt the ways of unbelievers and fall from grace. Oh, we don't want to do that. The God gives the New Testament saints, and I was talking about you already, but he gives us the same choice he gave the children of Israel. Choose today whom you will serve. I've preached it more than once, but several years ago I was at a baccalaureate service, had the privilege of preaching it, and I did such a terrible job that night, and I didn't say some things I'd planned on saying, and I've kicked myself every time I think about that baccalaureate service, the only one I've ever been offered, invited to speak at. I get angry at myself because I didn't do what I planned on doing. I didn't preach it the way I should have preached it. I got intimidated by the crowd. Well, there's 500 or 600 people there, and it's like, the microphone was sticking down here in my face. I thought it was a fly, and I kept trying to swat it. And finally I said, could y'all give me a handheld mic? I can't handle this fly in my face. But I preached this sermon. The thought was this: choose you this day whom you will serve. About Joshua, went on to say, but as for me and my house, we'll choose the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And that's something we have to make up our minds, church, that this day we choose, we're going to serve God. If you want the blessings of God, you must do that. And so if you depart from God, if we serve him continually, then God's blessings will be over and his power will be ours. But if you run from him, you depart from him, his righteous ways, you'll lose God's presence. I do not want to lose God's presence. I can't imagine how miserable I would be if I didn't have God's presence. Paul said, if in this life only I had hope, I would above all men be very miserable, most miserable, the word King James says. I'd be above all men most miserable if I didn't have God. I need the Lord, and you do too. I need his blessings, and so do you. So these priestly blessings consisted of 3 parts. The first one is found in chapter 6 of Numbers, verse 24. It says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. This speaks of, the keeping power of Jesus Christ. Don't you glad you don't have to get up here and have a squeaky voice or maybe a snotty nose or anything in front of people? No, I'm just kidding. So it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. It speaks of the keeping power of Jesus Christ. The Lord keep thee, the bless thee and keep you. I need Christ in my life. When I accepted Christ, he came into my life. He's been an integral part of my life ever since. The Holy Spirit has been my inseparable guide and friend ever since I accepted Jesus Christ. He walks with me. He every once in a while, he taps me on the side of the head and says, straighten up. Every now and then, he kicks me in the seat of the pants and says, you're not going the right direction. I mean, he's there for me. The Bible said he would do that. He would convict you when you were wrong. He would be there as a comforter when you needed him. He's everything you need because he's the right-hand man of God. And so he's there for us, and he keeps us. It's the beginning of all blessings when you become a Christian today. And it's the knowledge that we are kept by Christ himself. Him himself, Jesus himself, keeps us. He walks with us. He's with us all the way. Jesus is with me, one old song says, when the storm clouds gather. He'll be standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He'll hold my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong, something of that nature. So he's with me. He's by my side. He leads, guides, and directs and protects me through his Holy Spirit. I need the blessing of the Lord. I need it every single day of my life. I don't want to walk out from under it. And there's times that I get ugly, and if I begin to be convicted in my spirit because I got ugly, and I think, I don't want to walk out from under the protection of God because my flesh got ugly. So I have to repent. And I don't like to. I don't like to be wrong. But I know you guys all, y'all's all perfect. Well, I'm not. I get ugly sometimes. My flesh gets out of line every now and then, and I have to repent. I have to ask somebody to forgive me. I don't like it. But it's good for me. It keeps me on right standing with God. It keeps the blessings of God flowing my way. It keeps the curse off my back. It keeps me healthy. It keeps God on my side. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you today? I need the blessings of the Lord, and so do you. I need protection from evil forces in my life. The Bible says if we'll submit ourselves, therefore, unto God and resist the devil, he'll flee from us. But if you don't submit to God, the devil's going to have, he's just going to have his way, and he's going to run roughshod right over the top of you because you haven't submitted to God, and you've cut yourself off from the blessing of God and the protection of God. You don't want to do that, church. You don't want to do that. You want to stay right with God all the time. All the time. I need Jesus Christ to manifest His power and goodness in my life. And I know that you do too. We all need His power and His blessing and His goodness to be manifested or made alive in our lives. Every single one of us. And so we must maintain faith and confidence in God. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even to the end of the world, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He meant that. He didn't mean that just for a special group of people, just a special group in the middle of the group. You know, okay, all Christians, you know, we got the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the world. Then He told His church, told the disciples, I'm going to go away one of these days, but I'm sending back another comforter, somebody just like me, a paraclete, someone to walk beside you, someone to be with you, someone to help you, someone to encourage you, and someone to help you be over. Overcomers. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. In other words, He said, I'm going to come back to you through the Holy Spirit. He was only in one place. Well, He could have multiplied Himself, but He didn't. He was here for a specific amount of time, for a specific purpose, but He had somebody waiting in the wings. The third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of Almighty God, waiting to come back to earth to help you become a victorious, overcoming Christian with the blessings of God overtaking you. Some of you have went through some things this past few years. You've lost loved ones. You've had financial difficulties. You've had just issues in your home, different things. Everybody's faced something in your life, and you will again. As long as you live, as long as there's breath, you're going to face difficulties. But God's there. He's there for you. So we must lay hold of His covenant promises to take away this heart of stone and give us a new heart. We must learn to trust God completely to keep us as He blesses us. And second, blessed says Psalms 32 verse 2, Brother Robbie. Says, blessed is the man unto the Lord. Blessed is the man unto the Lord. That ain't what it says. Let me say, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is that person today. And secondly, number two, in my 3 points today. I love that. I'm a good preacher now. I got 3 points and a closing. Yeah, and I had also had opening. Man, I got her going now. I'm also noted. I'm a noted preacher because I got notes. So I got it all together. I'm one that I could get on radio now. No, I don't think so. Number two, it starts chapter 6, verse 25. The Lord, the second part of the blessing. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. That denotes God's favor. Denotes or says that's God's favor. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's God's goodwill towards you. That's God's grace towards His people. You ain't catching this. What's that one person? You ain't catching what I'm throwing? That's God's grace in action in our lives. When God says, make his face shine upon you, he says, that's my grace. I'm gracious unto you. This describes a church with a clear conscience, not a seared one. You don't ever want to sear your heart over. You don't ever want to let your heart get hard against God. You got to keep a tender heart, church. You must keep a tender heart and a clear conscience. God cannot show you his face, the glory of his grace, until you are secure in him. I got to quit yelling. I'm losing my voice. Is that okay? Can I slow down and just talk? I like it the other way better, but I got to slow down. I'm losing it. And some of you say, praise God, I can hear it. I feel it in my spirit. And so this implies favor. You're no longer a stranger to God, but favored in his eyes. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. You are secure and favored in God's eyes. You need to catch hold of that. You're favored. You can truly say, and there's millions of Christians around the world, and there's been millions before us, and every single one of us can say we are God's favorite, or we are favored of God. God loves you enough. He shows you favor. Man, that's like Grace coming over to the house, and she gets, I got what we call pastor pills. And all it is, my daughter-in-law last year at Christmas made me up a, got me an old, just a bottle and put this label on it called Pastor Pills. And got several scenarios of when I can take one. I don't pay attention to the scenarios anymore. I just take them when I want them. But she filled it full of M&Ms. And Grace comes over and she spies those Pastor Pills. And she always wants one. Well, she wants a bowl full. She wants a whole package. She wants whatever she can get. But she's favored. I mean, she wants it. I don't care if it's the last one. She's going to get it. Because I'm her grandpa. And if she wants it, if I can get it, I'm going to do it for her. Now, I don't do everything. It's not, if it's total out of line, I'm not going to, just plumb crazy. I ain't going to do it just because she's Grace. But I'm not talking about some candy or some pudding or some soda. I mean, you know, her mom don't want to drink soda pop. She comes to my house and I got it. She wants it. She gets it. And I send her home later. I don't care if she's climbing the walls when she leaves there. Ain't no big deal to me. I'm a grandpa. She has favor. When little Emma gets up big enough and she wants it, she'll get it. Whether mama likes it or not, as long as mama ain't there, well, mama don't know. What happens at grandpa and nana's house stays at grandpa and nana's house, unless, of course, they're tearing the curtains down when they get home. She has favor. You understand what I'm saying? You got grandkids, all my grandkids. Haley Gale's the same way. Caleb. What's the other two's name? Braden and Madison. If they want it, they get it. Aren't you that way for your kids? I know you are, because your kids are spoiled. Right. Well, I can imagine yours not being. I've seen them sit by and you raise your hand, they start jerking. Mama's slapping again. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. You understand God's favor. I'm trying to explain the way you could get it. That's God's favor. Amen. You need it. God's got it. God gives it because he loves you. Now, he ain't going to give it, and his blessing ain't going to take you if you're not living right, but I'm talking about living right. And I'm not talking about asking out of line and asking amiss. I'm talking about asking for the things that God has promised in his covenant. Amen. And God's going to give it to you. He don't care what the other side of the family says. He don't care what the devil says. He don't care what the worldly crowd says. You're God's favorite, and God's going to give it to you. Amen? Amen? Amen. And I'm going to tell you, that's not by your initiative. That's by God's initiative. God chose to do it. You don't have to beg for it. God says, it's in my word. It's for you. You can have it. Take it. Grab it, use it, be blessed by it. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, come on now, ask, knock, and what was that? Never mind, that's not my sermon today. I don't have to remember that one. I'm flawed, I know it. So you don't have to pray for God's favor to come on you. He brings it to you. Now, it don't hurt to pray once in a while, but you understand what I'm saying. You don't have to beg God to show you favor when you're living for Him. It just comes over you and overtakes you. Psalms 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" Come on, church. And then number 3. It says this in verse 26 of our text. "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Give thee peace. That speaks of the increase of God's favor. The longer I've lived for God, the more I serve God, the more I see His favor in my life. I I've been living for Him, serving Him faithfully for over 40 years now. And so that's not very long, preacher. Well, it's more than 40 years. But I got back in church really good when I was about 20 years old, so it's been 43 years now, or if I can, I can't even add today. 43 years I've been serving God faithfully, and I ain't been preaching but about 30 of that 43 years, but been preaching for quite a while now and pastoring for over almost 25 years, and I can see God's favor in our lives. I can see how God, over the years, His favor has increased. And I'm His favorite. I know that. I understand you got some catching up to do. Not really. God's favor overtakes you. And God is gracious towards us. And He lifts up His countenance upon us. And so I'm glad for His presence. And the longer I live for Him, the greater, if I will do my part. Now, I can't expect His presence to be increased in my life if I'm not willing to seek Him. Through prayer, if I'm not willing to read His word and obey it, I won't say adhere to it, but I thought that confused Todd. To obey it, and hadn't picked on you in a while, so it's your turn to obey God's word. I can't expect God's presence to increase in my life if I'm just doing my thing. I don't mean spiritual thing. I mean doing my thing, just going here and there, doing this and that, showing no concern for the things of God. I can't expect His presence to be increased in my life. But if I'm doing my part and living for God the way I should and doing my best to live for Him and serve Him, His presence will be increased in my life. And it will be in yours also. I'm not just talking about me today. I'm talking about you, because God gives His blessing with real heartfelt love. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you a lot. He loves you more than you love yourself, and that's a lot. He loves you more than anybody loves you, and you've got some people really loves you. But God loves you more than that. Come on now. Think about it. Just think about that for a minute. I'll leave that alone, lest you think on that. I don't have to add much more to that. Psalms 4, 7, and 8 says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more in time that their corn and wine increased." More than in the time that their corn and wine increased. "I will lay down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." He has put gladness in my heart. He says, even more than when there was a harvest. More than the harvest time. And you know, back in those days when there was a harvest and they was able to harvest their wheat and harvest their milo and harvest their olives and their grapes and the things that they needed to sustain life, that was a happy time and they celebrated. He said, this is better. This is better than the harvest. To know God, to know Jesus Christ is better than the harvest. Because we have the peace of God that He only gives to His children. I love that scripture and the peace of God. Never mind. There again, I'm going blank. Tell me, Mother, Philippians. "And the peace of God surpasses all understanding," basically. Anyway, I'm sorry. I apologize for going blank. But that's one of my daddy's favorite scriptures right there, and I can't even remember it correctly today. But it's there. I find it if I need to, but I don't need to, so don't ask me. Increase of God's blessing gladness in our heart because God hears us and gives us peace because we have a personal relationship with Him. This is personal. I can't have a relationship for you with God. I have to have my own personal relationship with God. You can't save me. You can't pray me into heaven. I have to accept Jesus to go to heaven. I have to establish my own relationship with Him, and so do you. Nobody else can do it. Just because Grandma and Grandpa were Christians don't make you one. What's Joyce Meyer said, just because you go and sit in a garage don't make you a car any more than going and sitting in church will make you a Christian. You know? It just don't work that way. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have to trust God in all times. Those who really have the gladness of the Lord, those who really have the blessings of God that overtake them, they trust God at all times. Even in the good times. Even in the bad times. When things aren't going quite right, we still trust God's going to bring us through. Trust God that it's going to work out for the good. In fact, it's Romans 8:28. Maybe I'll get this one. For this we know, all things work together for the good to those who love God, for those who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We know it works out. The Bible goes on to say there, I believe neither height nor depth nor this or that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So we understand we have to trust Him in all times and earnestly desire His help and His presence. See, you need to have His presence in your life, but you have to desire it. You can walk and you can live a shallow life. I won't say that you won't make heaven because there's a lot of people living shallow Christian lives and most of them will go to heaven. The Bible has deals with that, talks about the rewards that you're going to get, some as wood and hay and stubble and other as precious jewels and gold and things like that, but they're all going to burn up. I just assume have all I can get, but then again, you think about all you're going to do is throw it at His feet anyway. But I want what God has for me now so that I can do for Him what I need to do now. I want the blessings of God to overtake me. I want Him to stop the curse in my life. I don't want something to come up on me that I could have prevented if I would have just trusted God and put my faith and hope in Him and served Him with all my heart. I don't want that to happen. Then He hears us and He gives us peace. These blessings of God bring peace. God's peace, or shalom, means being complete, lacking nothing, and receiving all that is necessary to make life truly life. Without Christ, you don't have real life. You just don't. If you don't have Jesus today, you don't have real life. You're living life, but you don't have true life. You just don't have real life. Glad for you, glad you're alive, but it's not real life. You need Jesus. Malachi 2 verse 5 says, my covenant was with Him of life and peace. It goes on to say some more, but my covenant with Him was of life and peace. I want life today, don't you? Jesus promises eternal life and peace that surpasses all understanding. God's peace gives us hope for the future. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I'm getting ready to close. It says, for I know the thoughts I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. You'll seek and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. God has an expected end for you. Can I say that one expected end for you? The most important part of your ending is this, heaven. Heaven. Eternal life with Jesus. John 15, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. What He says. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I'd have told you so, but it's true. I'm preparing a place. I'm going to come back after you one day. I'm going to receive you unto myself, and you're going to live eternally with me. That's exciting today. But this peace of God is for us now. These blessings are for us now, and we can receive them now, preparing us for later. He wants you to live victorious in your life. I'm going to close with these four scriptures. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Proverbs 10:22, "The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it." Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed be every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham," you need to go read, "the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life the Lord hath promised to them that love him." I tell you, church, the blessings of the Lord, by scripture today, but the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. And we have heaven to gain if we'll just hang in there. Hang in there. Come on, give him praise. In the house of the Lord. Praise God. And I'm going to close my third closing with this. And when we get through here, we'll be dismissed. But it says, and I want, John Hagee does this every Sunday, but stand for the blessing. Stand for the blessing of the Lord. And my wife's been asking me to do this for quite some time. But I'm going to do it today. I want you to receive this today. And if you're not a Christian, I want you, if you would, I want you to think about becoming a Christian so that you can have this blessing on your life and reverse of the curse in your life. But this is my prayer on this church today and everyone that's here. And I want you to know I love you. I love you. I really do. But this is our blessing. And it's just right straight one of my scripture today. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's our prayer today for this church. Why don't you receive it? Why don't you lift your hands today and tell the Lord you love him? Give him praise and honor and glory in his house. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. I bless you, Father, and I thank you for the blessings. I bless your name today, Lord. I thank you for keeping me. I thank you for blessing me. I thank you for giving me the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for protecting me from all the evil forces of this world. I thank you for your manifest power and goodness in my life. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me the strength to maintain my faith and confidence in you. I lay hold today on your covenant promises, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me a new heart and taking away the heart of stone. I thank you, Lord, today that you've given me favor, goodwill, and grace. I thank you, Lord, today that I have a clear conscience, not a seared one. I thank you, Lord, that you can show your face to us in the glory of your grace. I'm secure in you today. I thank you, Lord, that I am in your favor, not by my initiative, but by yours. I thank you, Lord, that you are my light and my salvation. You are my strength of my life. I thank you, Lord, that you have lifted up your countenance upon me and you have given me peace. I thank you, Lord, that there's gladness in my heart. I thank you, Lord, that I can lay down at night and sleep. I thank you, Lord, that you make me to dwell in safety. I thank you, Lord, today for my covenant with you is life and peace. I thank you, Lord, today for the future, that that we have in you today. I thank you, Lord, for the thoughts that you have towards me, thoughts of peace and not of evil. I thank you, Lord, that I can call upon you. I can pray unto you and you will listen to me. I thank you, Lord, today that I can seek you and I can find you. I can search for you with all of my heart and you'll be there. For the blessings of my God makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. I thank you, Lord, today for health. I thank you, Lord, today for finance. I thank you, Lord, today for peace in my family. I thank you, Lord, for health to my bones. I thank you, Lord, for the spiritual health and safety of this church. I thank you, Lord, for the spiritual well-being of every individual here today. I thank you, God, that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I thank you, Lord, that I can call upon you and you will listen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Great is my God and greatly to be praised. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're sick today, raise your hand right there where you're at. You need prayer? No, everybody, Brother Dan needs prayer. Sister Dolly needs prayer. Back here. Just pray, brother, these three people. Just raise your hand and get so they can see. Right back here. Sister Bertha's daughter-in-law and Brother Dan and Sister Dolly. Let's pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, they've come together. They've approached the throne of grace boldly this morning. They said, Lord, I have a need. I have a physical need today. I have a need of a touch from the Master's strong hand. Lord, I'm pressing through the throng today. I'm pressing through every doubt and every fear and everything, Lord, that would separate me from you. And I'm saying I am healed in the name of Jesus. I'm saying there's no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. No evil thing's going to come upon me because I am in the will of God. I am in the house of God and I am believing God for my total healing today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it goes on to say we're to call for the elders of the church and pray the prayer of faith. And as we pray the prayer of faith that there's any sin, they will be forgiven them. Hallelujah. If you prayed that with us today and you didn't know Christ, you are a Christian. You just accept him as your Savior, right? The Bible says your sin's been forgiven. But you got to start from this point and go forward in him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise in the house again.